This is Speaking of Writers. I'm Steve Richards. The book is The Longest Minute, The Great San Francisco Earthquake and Fire of 1906. The author is Matthew Davenport. More than 117 years ago, the largest city in the Western U.S. shook, crumbled, burned, and was completely devastated in an incomprehensible show of force by nature. With almost the entire city still asleep, the next 48 seconds sent shockwaves through the city, buckling streets, shattering water mains, collapsing buildings on slumbering residents, and crushing hundreds to death while trapping many alive. Matthew Davenport's first book, First Over There, a finalist for the 2015 Guggenheim Lehrman Prize in Military History, was acclaimed as, quote, a brilliant work for every library by Library Journal, and was heralded by Pulitzer Prize-winning historian James McPherson as, quote, military history at its best. He has been a contributing writer for the Wall Street Journal Book Review and Salon.com, and is a member of the Authors Guild, a native of Missouri and a former prosecutor. He practices law in North Carolina, where he lives with his family. Happy to have Matthew Davenport join me here on Speaking of Writers. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
So why the Great San Francisco Earthquake and Fire as a subject for you?
I was in the middle of research on my first book, which covered the first American soldiers and their first engagement with the German army and the Western Front in World War One. And because that was going to be newsworthy, there were a lot of reporters that were embedded with the troops. And one of the reporters was a guy named James Hopper. His account was very transportive, detailed. I'd never heard of him before, but many of the soldiers in their letters and later memoirs would talk about meeting the famous San Francisco earthquake reporter, Mr. Hopper. He was a household name to them. And I thought, that's interesting. I knew that in 1906, there had been an earthquake in San Francisco. I didn't know any more. That year, I happened to visit San Francisco with my wife, and I saw how much of the city was and still is shaped by that event. And I learned that, you know, estimated 3,000 or more people were killed, that it destroyed almost an entire major American city. And I said, this is interesting. I'd like to know more. And I read Mr. Hopper's account of that, which he had written as an eyewitness to the disaster, because he was a newspaper reporter in the city when it happened. And I then still wanted to know more. And as I looked into books that had been published on it, it had been a number of years since any book had done a deep dive into archival sources to cover it the way that I really wanted to read it. And the more I looked, the more I wanted to know. And I said, I think this will be my next project. Maybe I can write the book I want to read.
As part of the research, Matthew, you access records never consulted in any published account of the disaster. The court transcripts provided some of the most fascinating descriptions of the earthquake and fire from the survivors. What were they like?
Well, yeah, that's in the National Archives in San Bruno. And in the months following the earthquake and fire, there was a lot of litigation over insurance coverage, because there was a good amount of insured property, and most of those contracts had earthquake clauses that no damage occasioned by or as a result of an earthquake would be covered. So many insurance companies would deny coverage or offer pennies on the dollar, and some of them went to trial. Well, these trials the transcripts of the testimony of these trials offer a great glimpse into what people saw in each individual fire, how and where individual fires started and how they spread. This is verbatim transcripts of testimony, sworn testimony of hundreds of eyewitnesses, from store shop owners and night watchmen all the way up to the mayor himself and the acting fire chief, all under oath just months after the event, very reliable. And we're able to dispel a lot of myths about how some of the fires started and how many of them spread and how they were fought.
So it's April 1906 when this occurs. San Francisco, the biggest city in the West at the time. What's the city like at this time when this happens?
It was the largest city west of St. Louis and Chicago. It was the ninth largest in the United States. The city had a population of somewhere around 420, 430,000 people. As many as 50,000 a day would arrive by ferry at the ferry building because there were no bridges. There was not the Bay Bridge or the Golden Gate Bridge then. So it was a bustling, it was the queen city of the West. It had the first mint in the West. It was the banking center of the West, the investment center. Of course, it had all started 6 decades earlier with the gold rush, but had continued through the silver Comstock lode discovery and the Transcontinental Railroad. All that money and banking and financial center was all based in San Francisco. It was the heart of the Western United States and the Western economy.
The magnitude 7.9. It hits at 5 a.m. in the morning. One of the two strongest in the recorded history of California, still the strongest in the recorded history in the Bay Area. But then, of course, part of the title of your book, The Longest Minute, The Great San Francisco Earthquake and Fire of 1906, is this 3-day firestorm, too. What was that like?
Well, that's what caused most of the damage and the devastation. The earthquake itself caused quite a few deaths. I would say probably hundreds, caused a lot of injuries, especially to poorly built buildings that were overcrowded on soft fill land. But it was the firestorm that ignited and spread almost uncontrolled for 3 days and 3 nights that almost destroyed the entire city. It's difficult for us to grasp now. This was the only time in our nation's history that a major American city has been so totally destroyed. A population of nearly 500,000 saw more than 28,000 buildings, homes, businesses, churches, schools, libraries reduced to ash heap and rubble.
Just devastating. Chatting with Matthew Davenport here on Speaking of Writers. His new book is The Longest Minute, The Great San Francisco Earthquake and Fire of 1906. So, Matthew, what are some of the myths of this that you debunk in this book?
A lot of the myths come from both directions. One, that this was at the time, many would say this was the hand of God. This was inevitable. This is earthquake country. But earthquakes by themselves cannot kill the shaking of ground cannot by itself kill hundreds or thousands of people, not without man's help. And specifically to this, the shaking of ground alone cannot ignite fires and cause a 3-day firestorm that kills hundreds or thousands and destroys an entire, almost destroys an entire city. Many of the myths that persisted were that, oh, well, gas mains broke and leaked and electric wiring crossed and arced and caused fires in wooden structures. And it just got beyond the fire department's control because there was so much. That's not true. Most of the fires that started, almost everyone, were in commercial space. They were mostly in unoccupied commercial space in poorly zoned working class districts, particularly south of Market, where there was no requirements for good fireproofing or firewalls between it and between commercial industrial space for machine shops and foundries and ironworks and residential wooden lodging houses and hotels where that were filled over capacity. There's also a persistent myth that the fire department was helpless, that they couldn't do anything, and the fire burned itself out. And that's one of the things I really discovered in this, because I went into this thinking that was true. I said, well, obviously they were helpless. They weren't. I make a point of not using the word helpless in the book because the firefighters actually spent 3 days and nights on their feet without rest, fighting every corner of this, against all the odds that had been stacked against them, by a private water company with insufficient mains that broke in the soft soil, that without water pressure almost everywhere. They found only water pressure in about 4 dozen hydrants out of 4,000. But they fought it at every turn, and they ended up stopping the fire. It was extinguished by the fire department after 3 days and nights of work. It didn't burn itself out. No rain came to save the day.
Matthew, what do you think the lasting impact is and was on this to the city of San Francisco?
Well, I read a historian one time say that the crown of San Francisco as the queen of the West, queen city of the West, started to slip on April 18th, 1906. And that's is difficult to dispute that, because you look at it was the largest city in the West. And after this, it got passed and passed again and passed again. And maybe given the geography, that was inevitable. But the its position, sitting between two major faults, the San Andreas and the Hayward, leave it vulnerable to more, just as it was then. But one of the great things that has resulted after the rebuilding and the incredible resilience of a population of nearly a half million, more than half of whom were made homeless by this, most of whom stayed in the city against all odds to rebuild their businesses and their homes. There were a lot of lessons that were heeded, warnings that were heeded and lessons learned, that they built an auxiliary water system, and they have followed all the warnings of the fire chief that led up to this, now after the fact, so that there are thousands of emergency management professionals and first responders who have been working for really the bulk of 117 years and still work day and night now to make sure that while there will be another earthquake and there will be another big one, that is inevitable. The science is the science. Mm-hmm. They work to make sure that there will not be another 1906.
Yeah, and of course, the last big earthquake there was the Northridge quake during the World Series, of course, that famous earthquake there in the Bay Area.
Yeah, so that was the Loma Prieta earthquake.
Loma Prieta, yeah.
Right, and that was a 6.9, and it was very strong, and it lasted 15 seconds and caused a lot of damage. And most of the deaths that resulted of that were the collapse of the double-decker freeway over in Oakland and the Bay Bridge. There were some deaths in the city, but the auxiliary water system and the fireboats proved their worth, because the fires that mostly resulted in that ignited in the Marina District, which was built on fill land for the 1915 World's Fair there, were contained to a block. So there was a lot of damage and devastation. The damage was measured in the billions, but it was not another 1906.
Yeah. What would you like readers to take away from The Longest Minute, Matthew?
You know, one of the things, there's really two parts to this. There's the lessons, the cause and effect, the decades of greed and corruption that enabled this, that caused this, the decades of decisions of men in charge to forget, neglect, ignore profit, and rank the profits of developers and a private water company over the safety of its own citizens. That's the root of all this. But I really wanted to spend equal time on the human face of this, because one of my favorite quotes about the loss in military history, when we hear 3,000 people, 2,000 people were killed, or however many killed or wounded, we become numb to the number. But when we hear about an individual person and what they went through, it becomes real. It's like the war correspondent Eric Severide, who said, A million butchered lives still leaves an empty spot at just one family table. The beneath the foundations of buildings in San Francisco, throughout the city, are an untold number of unmarked graves of forgotten lives, immigrants, transient laborers, widows, single mothers with children, with nobody to mourn or even notice their loss at the time. To this day, many of those names and the numbers are unknown. The other bit of previously unconsulted material in this was the death records that the late city archivist Gladys Hansen had spent so much of her life, career, and even her retirement compiling. And I accessed each one of those at the San Francisco Public Library and through her online city museum, and cross-referenced each one through Ancestry and reached out to what family members I could find to tell at least a little bit of some of the people's stories who died in this that were forgotten or whose remains were never found. And those are the stories that I want readers to carry with them. It supports my ongoing theory of life that true stories, what really happened to real people, are always more interesting than fiction.
Yeah, as David McCullough used to say, history is not about dates, it's about people.
Yes. David McCullough used to say, it's not about the dates and obscure provisos, it's about people. Exactly. What really happened to real people. And that's much more fascinating to me than something hypothetical. And that's what I want readers to carry away, even if it's just one person's name. And I wonder what that person was like. There's hundreds of them that I visit or try to get the reader to visit in this book.
The book is The Longest Minute, The Great San Francisco Earthquake and Fire of 1906. The author is Matthew Davenport. Matthew, thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me.
And this is Speaking of Writers.